Black August is a tradition that for hundreds of years now throughout the African diaspora has been a kind of a tradition of resistance. And in New York City, the Malcolm X grassroots movement puts on this annual benefit. And the tradition was established during the 1970s in the California prison system by the men and women of the New African Liberation Movement as a means of acknowledging and studying the legacy of resistance in the Americas. Because if you look back in history, Saki, right? Talk to the people, girl. There were many... many rebellions and uprisings throughout the diaspora in Haiti. You had the Nat Turner Rebellion was in August of 1831. The Haitian Revolution was in August of 1791. The March on Washington was August 1963. The Watts Rebellions, August 65.
Right, and so there's a history of resistance in the Americas in August, and so the founders of Black August entitled it Black August, celebrating August. Also, George Jackson was slain and was assassinated in prison, and so it's also honoring George Jackson and other freedom fighters who have not only died for the cause but continue to be in prison for the struggle. And that's the topic for today, political prisoners. We have Walida on the phone with us. She is an editor for AWOL magazine. She also is a supporter of MOVE.
And she's also actually the editor of one of the co-editors, I think, of Another World is Possible, the compilation that was put out some time ago. Now, for folks who don't know, again, we're talking about August. And August 8th, 1978, nine MOVE members were incarcerated. And so we have Walida Imarisha with us on the line from Philadelphia. And she's going to talk a bit about the MOVE 9. Walida, are you with us?
Yeah, peace. How are you doing?
Peace, Walida. Thank you for being with us today.
Okay, Walida, can you tell us a little bit about the events this weekend, Friday and Saturday, and what the events are commemorating?
Sure. We actually have built a weekend of different events that people can get into to celebrate and to commemorate the 25 years of resistance that the MOVE 9 have been going through, and that MOVE as a whole has been going through. As you said, August 8, 1978, there was an attack on MOVE's headquarters, which was also their home, where hundreds of cops surrounded the house after a year standoff and siege, where they cut off power and electricity to an entire block, set up checkpoints. It was kind of like in Palestine. You had to have passes to get in to prove that you lived in the neighborhood. And finally, August 8, 1978, police decided they'd had enough, so they attacked the house and pumped hundreds of rounds of ammunition, thousands of rounds, pumped hundreds of gallons of water into the house where there were men, women, and children. And in that action, one officer was killed, Officer James Ramp. And you can tell from the bullets, MOVE is hypothesizing that he was shot by friendly fire. In fact, the judge in the case said that he did not know who shot Officer Ramp, but that didn't stop him from sentencing nine MOVE members to 25 years or more in prison. And so that's where they've been for 25 years. And one of them, Merle Africa, actually died in prison. So, you know, that was a death sentence for her. And they're trying to make it a death sentence for the other MOVE members. So we've planned a weekend of events. We're having a poetry reading tonight that's going to have Amiri Baraka and Amina Baraka, myself and Breon Bain, who's a slam champion from New York. Tomorrow morning we're having a 7-mile run, walk, bike, whatever you want for MOVE, to commemorate that, to keep on a MOVE, you know, to keep moving, to keep active. And then tomorrow in the afternoon at 2 p.m., and all of this is taking place here in Philadelphia, we're having a free concert in Clark Park with Reconstruction, which is a New York group, Luminous Flux, Mike Africa, who's with the Seeds of Wisdom, which is the young people of MOVE who were not supposed to exist, who were supposed to have been killed. They were never supposed to be born, but they were born, and they're strong, and they're going strong. So it's just kind of a lot of different events to touch different parts of our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, to keep up our energy and strength so that we can stay strong like the MOVE members have stayed strong, like all political prisoners have stayed strong.
Okay, thankfully. We're trying to get Mike. We're having a little difficulties locating Mike, but we're trying to have Mike speak to us a little bit more about the background and the history of MOVE as an organization and its principles. Hopefully we will have him, so stay tuned. But now we'd like to introduce
Rosa Clemente, who's here with us from the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, and many of you may also know her as a producer here at BAI on Where We Live. Now, Rosa, why don't you give folks some background and really contextualize why the struggles for political prisoners and political exiles is relevant to this generation of people and how hip-hop is being used to promote the struggle?
Well, first of all, when we talk about political prisoners, we also talk about, you know, those who are prisoners of war, like the Puerto Rican political prisoners who felt it necessary to go, and by any means necessary, go up against the U.S. government, whether that was armed revolution or other type of tactics. But particularly why political prisoners, prisoners of war, are important for the hip-hop generation really goes to the USA Patriot Act 1-2 and the passing of the Homeland Resistance Act. And what those acts have essentially done is say that if you have a political belief, a different political ideologically, you're opposed to United States imperialism and its manifestations called unemployment, you know, no education, no health care, police brutality, that your right to even talk about these issues are now, they're casting a light of anti-Americanism. And when you're labeled that, you're then labeled a terrorist. So possibly jumping a turnstile can be considered a terrorist activity depending on the face of that person who jumped the turnstile. What that means for us as a generation, as those who talk about politics and are politically conscious, is that our right to dissent, whether it's by behavior or talk, has been now deemed an act of resistance against a government. And what that eventually is going to do is it's going to imprison a lot of brothers and sisters for merely speaking out, not ones that just take hardcore political stances. We see it happening across the board with Greenpeace, the Earth Liberation Front movement, and we've continued to see it happen to those who struggle against, you know, black and brown folks who struggle against United States imperialism within the belly of the beast. And we can't forget that we got brothers who are locked down 32 years. We got Marshall Eddie Conway. We got Jaleel Muntah Kim, Dr. Mutulu Shakur, Sundi Adokoli, Sekou Odinga, Herman Bell, Russell Schultz, Oscar Lopez Rivera, and I could keep going down, Leonard Peltier, Marilyn Buck. All these brothers and sisters who took stances are still, after 30, 31, 32 years, are locked down, not because of an indictment of a crime that they committed, but literally because they chose to speak truth to power. And we see it happening on college campuses and in high schools.
Walida, can you tell us a little bit about AWOL? What does AWOL stand for?
Yeah, AWOL is a political hip-hop magazine that started about 2 years ago. The full name is AWOL Magazine, Revolutionary Artist Workshop. And AWOL actually just stands for the military term absent without leave, because we say that we go AWOL against this system. We go AWOL against imperialism, capitalism, patriarchy, all of the, you know, the isms and the schisms that are trying to run our lives. We go AWOL against all of that and create our own identity and our own cultures of resistance. And so, you know, we use hip-hop as a forum to talk about that, as one of the youth voices that are out there today, you know, and each issue comes with a CD. So we try and encompass as many art forms as possible, you know, from graffiti to writing, articles, poetry, music, you know, anything we can think of, we try and put it together to get voices out that are talking about these issues, exactly what Rosa was saying, these different ways that the system affects us, you know, the different ways that everything's connected. And at AWOL, we see the military and militarism as kind of the baseline that supports all of these other ills. They're the military might that keeps the system in place, you know, the military and the police. And so we speak the truth of the military recruiting that is heavily targeting youth of color, you know, predominantly, and what it means to be a young, poor person of color going into the military, what they say they're going to give you and what you actually get, which is usually, you know, dead or unemployed when you get out.
Rosa listed a number of political prisoners, a very well-known political prisoner who's associated with MOVE, a supporter of MOVE, is Mumia Abdul-Jamal. Can you tell us, Jamal, can you describe the connection between MOVE and Mumia?
Yeah, Mumia Abdul-Jamal is part of MOVE. You know, they're all family. Mumia was a journalist in the 70s and 80s. He started out as a member of the Black Panther Party in the 60s, and then when the Black Panther Party fell out of existence, he, you know, moved on to to journalism, was a revolutionary radical journalist here in Philadelphia, and started covering the stories around MOVE. And he covered the 1978 siege on MOVE's house, and, you know, the attempted massacre that the police put on the MOVE members there. And, you know, as opposed to all the other journalists here in Philadelphia and around the world, he did it fairly. He did it impartially. He actually talked to MOVE. You know, he got their side of the story rather than just talking to the police, which is something that angered the government establishment here in Philadelphia and around the world. And because of Mumia's journalism, you know, and other journalists like him, you know, the Philadelphia Police Department was indicted by the U.S. Department of Justice for brutality and corruption, and that's never happened before, ever, in the history of this country. So it was journalists like Mumia who shed light on this by talking about the situations about MOVE. And then, you know, in 1981...
We just lost Walita, but we do have Rosa Clemente here with us in the studio. So Rosa, you know, till we reconnect with Walita, why don't you talk a little about... Rosa's also the National Director of Youth Communities, or National Youth Communities Director for the American Civil Liberties Union.
Communications.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I'm not an organizer in that capacity. But, I'm a National Youth Communications Director at the American Civil Liberties Union. And, you know, a lot of folks may know the ACLU. What we're trying to do is really highlight, again, the loss of civil liberties. Yes, that is, like, extremely important. But that also goes to the question of human rights. And, you know, we got to move this discussion towards... How do we look at ourselves as human beings, and why does a civil liberty or a civil right have
Hello?
To be constitutionally amended for us to enjoy what is a God-given right to live a healthy, normal life wherever we exist? So through the ACLU, what we're going to do this year is have a college freedom tour that is going to really highlight on college campuses issues that are affecting young people. The Patriot Act 1 and 2, affirmative action policies, and also the RAVE Act. And, you know,
Hello?
We can't really get into a discussion about the RAVE Act right now, but those are just some of the things we're doing.
We're joined on the phone by Mike Africa. Mike, I heard
yes.
you saying hello. How you doing?
Can
you
hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I'm sorry. I said hello a couple of times. I didn't know if you could hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you. Thank you for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the background and the history of how MOVE was founded?
Well, MOVE was started in the early 1970s by a man named John Africa. And he started the organization because of the things that was life, you know, how life was being abused, you know, how people were, you know, being murdered. War and, you know, the air being polluted and the water, you know, and being polluted and the soil being polluted. You know, he started this organization to try to get people aware of what was going on. And that's how the organization started in the first place. You know, that's the basis of it. And it's a way of life. It's not just something that, you know, we punch a clock and we're, you know, on the clock and we're officially members at the time. You know, it's a way of life. This is how we practice every day. You know, and, so that's basically it. The organization is founded by life, you know.
Okay. And what were the events that actually led to the confrontation? When I was looking up different principles of MOVE, I noticed that they were involved in a number of protests and demonstrations. Can you talk a little bit about those things?
The demonstrations that go on at that time were demonstrations against Philadelphia Zoo, against... Puppy Palace, who was circuses and things like that, where animals were being mistreated, they were being abused, you know, bears were being made to stand on balls and roll around and, you know, taking from their natural habitat, taking from mothers, their children. We you know, started explaining to people that, you know, if someone took you off of your home, ran up in there with weapons, pointing them at you, take you away from or your father or your children, and put you in a circus and forced you and intimidated you into, you know, standing on a ball and rolling around just so a bunch of people can look at you and laugh. Explain that is cruel, you know. And if somebody did, people will see that as cruel, but because they do it to animals, they see it as acceptable. They see it as, you know, funny or whatever. So we protested against it, you know, because animals, God, just, you know, for us to mistreat animals, for people to mistreat animals.
Mike,
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're breaking up a little bit on the cell phone, so we're going to try to talk with Walida a little bit more. Maybe she can help explain. I don't want to let you go off the phone. But and also Rosa wants to add a couple of things. And if you two stay tuned, you're listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM. You can also check us online at www.wbai.org. Walida is going to give us a demonstration of her some poetry that she will be doing tonight in Philadelphia as a part of their events and celebrations.
I mean, I think when we talk about all these issues, I think a lot of our audience members, whether they're new or not, you know that there is inherently something wrong with this system. So what that really then, the question we need to ask now is, how do we claim the victories that we do accomplish? A lot of times we just talk about the issue and the problem and don't claim the victories. And one that we can claim as young people and as people who believe in social justice is the U.S. Navy leaving Vieques on May 1st. That's a victory that needs to be claimed and highlighted to young people. A lot of times as organizers and activists, we get caught up in the rhetoric and don't say, this is a winnable fight. We're not going in it to lose. We get some losses, we get some hits, but no matter what, we still stand up. And that's why Black August and highlighting political prisoners is important, because what the powers that be essentially wanted us to do is forget about Mutulu Shakur, forget, have an entire generation not know that there are political prisoners. And we said we are not going to make, we're not going to allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. So whether it's a dead press who rocks an RBG flag, whether it's a divine who can rhyme about political prisoners in Spanish, whether it's Native American folks in Oklahoma doing hip-hop to free Leonard Peltier, that's exactly what the powers don't be, that be don't want to happen, which is then why we have to talk about reclaiming the culture of hip-hop from the corporate powers they be, because they know that is the vehicle where we're going to free the people's mind, which always leads to victory. So I just like people to really think about being victorious, and to think about when you're in it to fight, you're in it to win. The win doesn't come in 1 year. It could be 30 years before you see a win, but you got to struggle that long for the people.
Yeah. Right, and Walida, can you talk a little bit about what you see personally, the importance relationship between culture and resistance?
Yeah, I mean, I think what Rosa said is so powerful, and I think that, you know, in addition to that, we have to keep our souls going. Like, if we're going to bring people into some kind of, like, you know, revolutionary movement where we're working to free these folks and to change these things that we've been talking about, you know, we can't just be in the streets protesting. We have to do that. You know, that's an imperative. We have to do that. But we also have to be feeding our souls, feeding our hearts, feeding our minds. And that comes through culture. You know, it's culture that's going to carry us through. It's culture that was able to let Black folks get through slavery, that has let Puerto Rican people continue to struggle for their independence, that has let Native folks, you know, survive attempted genocide. So that is what is going to help us carry through. And so that's one of the reasons that we're planning this weekend of Stuff for Move, is not just to protest that the Move 9 be freed. You know, that goes without question, that we want, you know, the Move 9 freed. We want all political prisoners freed. But, you know, also to say we're going to celebrate and we're going to commemorate, you know, 25 years of resistance, not just of oppression. We're not just victims. You know, we have been actively resisting, you know, for 500 years, for 1,000 years, you know. So this is just the 25 years that we've been resisting, and we're going to honor that, and we're going to continue to honor that until everyone is free.
Walida.
Thank you, Walida. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5. We're going to take a music break. We have M1 from Dead Prez in the studio with us, so we're going to speak with him when we get back. And what you are listening to...
We're listening to...
Talib Kweli.
Talib Kweli and Proud, and you can listen to Talib on Sunday also at Black August.
Yeah.
One, two,
yeah. It's more than pride. Yeah. We stay alive. Right. We got to hold it down, yo.
papers say Timothy McVeigh's in hell, so everything's okay and all must be well. I remember in Oklahoma when they put out the blaze and put Islamic terrorist bombing on the front page. It's like saying only J's get AIDS. Propaganda, like saying the problem's over when they lock that man up. Wrong, it's just the beginning, first inning. Battle for America's soul, devil's winning. The president is worse, the vice president's a dick. So a whole lot of big uplifts, what we gon' get? They don't wanna raise the baby, so the election is fixed. That's why we don't move up with politics. They bet on that. Parents fought and got wet for that. Hose down, bit my dogs. We got blacks in the house, rep for that. It's all good except for that. We're still poor. And money, power, respect is what we kill for. It's real. But knowledge is more dangerous than getting the gun. They make the guns easy to get and try to keep looking dumb. Target the gangs and graffiti with the Prop 21. I already know the deal, but what the hell do I tell my son? I want him living right, living good, respect the rules. He's 5 years old and he's still thinking cops are cool. How do I break the news that when he gets some sides, if he perceived as a threat, he'll see the fear in the eyes? It's in their job description to terminate the threat. So 41 shots to the body is what he can expect. The president is set, no matter if you follow the law. How do I give my son pride and make him swallow the door? Damn, the pig, I think the pigs kill Big and Pac too. If they didn't, they know who did, they got to. Who they serve with the tag and not you. Cop shot off the 10 G's, but they got Glocks too. Let you protect yourself and better yet respect yourself. Straight into the hospital is where you gotta check yourself. They be getting tips from snitches to rival crews, doing a favor, so they working for the drug dealers too. Just business and forces with hate in they holsters. Shoot you in the back, moon, face you like a soldier. Come low to ask me what I say to a dead cop's wife. Cops kill my people every day, that's life. We see the best examples of humanity in the face of the worst. Firefighters, police officers, rescue workers, and volunteers of all sorts fight to save lives. The world will never be the same again. Heart go out to everybody at ground zero. Red, black, yellow, white, and brown heroes. It's more complicated than black and white. To give your own life is the greatest sacrifice. But it's hard for me to walk down the block, seeing rats and roaches, crack files and 40-ounce posters. People broken down from years of oppression become patriots when they weigh your life is threatened. It's a hard conversation.
That was solid quality.